We're going to continue our preaching from 1 John. If you'd turn with me to chapter 2. The sermon this morning is going to be on verses 15 through 17. I'm going to start reading from verse 12 in 1 John chapter 2. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lusts of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Let's pray. Our Father and our King, again we thank you for this day. Our Father, again we thank you for the opportunity to stop and turn to you and hear your word. So Lord, we pray now that you would open our minds and open our hearts, and may we obey. May we hear and may we rejoice. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These verses, 15 through 17, they set up two camps. They show you that there is the world's camp, and it's going to pass away. It's going to die. It's worthless. And it's the desires of the world are the same. It shows you that there's God's will and God's desires. And those who follow these abide forever. So you have the one, it's death. It's going away. You have the other, it's life. And it's forever. And God tells us, you don't want this. God tells you, this is no good. And each of us decide day in and day out what we're going to do. Which one we're going to choose. Sometimes we struggle, sometimes we wrestle, sometimes we just run to it. Sometimes we are the victors over it in Christ. But today, I want you to look and I want you to really consider your life. Really consider God's desire for you and how that lines up with your desires. Because really, your desires are where you run to for safety, for joy, and for your securities. When you think about the things you run to, when you think about the things that you want, why do you want them? Well, you think they're going to make you happy. Or you think they're going to make you secure. And really, when it's anything other than where God points us, it's idolatry. You and I, we run to idols. So I'm going to ask you to examine your heart. To see what your desires are. And to see how they line up with God's. You can look at, consider, what are you looking forward to? I might just be looking forward to having all my presbytery exams behind me. What are you looking forward to? Are you just looking forward to a vacation? Are you just looking forward to having a car paid off? Are you looking forward to have this obligation set aside? Are you looking forward to Fire Mountain? Where are you running for your joys? Or are your joys a different bent? Are you looking forward to the word proclaimed? Are you looking forward to your quiet time? Sitting with the Father and hearing what He says. Are you looking forward to your prayer time of talking with your Lord? Are you looking forward to your next opportunity to share the gospel? Where are your desires? What are you longing to do? Where are you expecting to find peace? Where are you expecting to find fulfillment? And are you running after God's desire? Are you running after God's purpose and will for your life? When you're beat down, when you're exhausted, what answer do you seek? Is it a bowl of ice cream? Or is it a prayer? Or is it a scripture? What are you running to? We run to the Father's desires by doing His will. We're going to read through these verses again. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of his Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And here, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The will of God. People claim to want it. People claim to be seeking it. But when it's right in their face, what do they do with it? I often think of when Jesus was on trial and he says, I came to bear witness of the truth. And the guy says, what is truth? You know, what is truth? That's the question people ask when truth is staring them in the eyeballs. And they don't want to accept it. The will of God for you stares you in the eyeballs. The question, what do I do? Here we go. We do what God says in His Word. God's will is perfect and it is orderly. But it brings turmoil sometimes, doesn't it? See, we face this world system that these scriptures talk about. A world system that's in opposition to God. And it's in opposition to God's will. But ultimately, following God's purpose brings peace. Because God's purpose for you, God's will for you, we see here, you will abide forever in your Father's peace. I was cutting the grass Friday, and it's best for me if I can break into the two sections because it makes me really tired. And I was up here behind this pine tree, and I decided to take a break. When I shut the lawnmower off, the world seemed so quiet and so peaceful. And I laid down in the grass. And I had the pine tree at my feet here and these locust trees up behind me. And there's a blue sky and clouds are drifting past. And there was this peace. And I thought of Eden. And I thought of the time when there was no struggle and there was no turmoil. And I thought, wow, that must have been great. But I want to tell you that the peace that I had laying behind that tree may have been better than Eden, because I'm not falling. I'm not going to lose my relationship with God. And this peace, laying on the fresh cut grass with trees around you and this quiet and the blue sky and the white clouds drifting by, you have peace with God as you do His will. You have this peace. You're not in opposition to God. Things might be rough and people might be butting heads with you, but your peace is with the Lord as you do His will. Ultimately, we have peace because of what Christ has done, but we have these struggles. But you can rest and not worry about all these things and all these troubles and all these people as you do His will. Well, how do you know God's will? People struggle. people search and people try to figure it out. But in Psalm 119:24 it says, "Your statutes are my delight, and they are my counselors." We can simply do what God says. Not running for this and not running for that. We know God's will as we go to wise counselors. People who know God, who love Him, who walk with Him. Proverbs 20:18, "Make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance." Now we often think of the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, and sometimes people will run and look for this voice to tell them what to do, to discern God's will. And we see in John 14:26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." But notice this, "and will remind you of everything I have said to you." See, the work of the Holy Spirit gives us what God has said, what He has said in His Word. And when we're looking for these other things and we're running after these other things, we're in danger of following our own imaginations. And it is a dangerous place to live, and it is a dangerous place to go when your counsel is here. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's here. And He shows you what to do and where to go. And ultimately, if we love God, we will obey what He commands. See, that's why this paradigm is set up. That's why we have this opposition between the world and the flesh. Put it back over here where it was. The world and the flesh and God's will. Because they're in perfect opposition. One shows that you love God, and the other shows that you hate Him. And that's what your sin is. Is saying that you hate God. The alternative in loving the world, we see in verse 15. "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." See, we have to run from the love of the world. Now, if we talk about running from the world, that's going to throw up all kinds of alarms for people. People always say, we can't run from the world. When we decided to homeschool our children, they told us, you can't keep your kids from the world. Well, I don't know, but I don't have to throw a five-year-old into a cesspool either. See, we're not running from the world, but we're running from the love of it. You see, the world, we're defining it the same way it's used in James 4:4, where he says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God." And you face this real threat when you're thinking of and when you're following and when you're loving the things of the world. Here's a definition of the world. It is the system and structure of life that was born in the fall of man. As mankind began to pretend like God doesn't exist or is unnecessary for life, it is a system that is opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed as the only truth that offers eternal life. You see, when we choose not to do God's will, we're choosing that system. We're choosing that structure. And again, what we're talking about is not running from it, but it's not loving it. And it's standing against it. The passion of the world is to seek joy, comfort, and fulfillment apart from obedience to God and Jesus Christ. See, that's what a love for the world is, because that's where your desires are. That's where your heart is when you run after these other things. Now, I'm not saying a bowl of ice cream is evil. But I'm saying it shouldn't be our love. I'm saying it shouldn't be our comfort. I'm saying it shouldn't be our joy apart from Christ. The paradigm set up drastically in Proverbs 2:12-15. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. These wicked men are the men of the world. Wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in darkness, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And our sin makes us like that. Our sin makes us devious in our ways as we have to hide where we've been. We have to hide what we've done. We have to smooth over the things that we've said. As we have to justify our actions. When we sin, these are the things we face, and these are the kind of people that we become as we run to the world's desires instead of to God's. Not only should we run from these, but we should speak against them and be careful not to justify them. Oftentimes my kids will see something on a TV show that I like, and they'll just point out the wrong. They'll point out the sin that I didn't see. And I've been tempted to justify the things that I see and wash it over and make it not that bad. We should never be there. When something is sin, it's rebellion against God. Isaiah 44:9 says, "All who make idols are nothing, and the things they treasure are worthless." And here it is. "Those who speak up for them are blind. They are ignorant to their own shame." And when we gloss over these things that we have done, we gloss over these things that other people do and try to downplay it or try to justify it, we are being ignorant. And we're blind to our own shame. Because sin's never okay. Never okay to do the wrong thing. Because friendship with the world is hatred for God. Look with me at verse 16. "For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man," that word is sarx, it's the word for flesh, "the cravings of the flesh," and that's the world system we're talking about, "the cravings of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world." Leslie and I, we were talking through, I was like, "Well, what is the lust of the flesh? How would you define this, Leslie?" Trying to put it all into words, and she says, "It's selfishness." It's selfishness. Wanting what I want. Apart from God. Wanting what I want to make me feel good. Wanting what I want to make me feel better. Wanting what I want to make me look good. Rather than a commitment to God, to God's Word, and to God's kingdom. You see, the things that we do, they might even be good things. And they might even bear fruit. I trimmed some trees yesterday, and this man told me about a giant apple tree that they got 40 bushels of apples off. And this tree was incredible. He would put up a ladder and climb 15 feet up into its branches and pluck all this fruit off of it. Well, one night there was a wind and there was a crack, and this giant tree crashed. And they went out and looked, and the inside had been completely eaten out by carpenter ants. This giant, beautiful tree that was bearing all this fruit was rotten on the inside. You see, there have been pastors, haven't there, that have borne fruit. You've seen what they've done. You've seen people grow under their ministries and they fall. Now, I've heard it said that sudden falls are never sudden. That tree didn't rot overnight and fall. You know, you can work hard. You can look good. people can compliment you. You might even have some fruit in your life. But you really have to look at the desires of your heart and where you're really running. Because you might be rotten on the inside. And I pray this isn't the case for you, but I want you to examine your hearts this morning. To really look at your desires and how they line up with God's. And make a commitment to run after God's desires. And throw off the selfishness. Romans 13:14. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of a sinful nature. I love how far back the line's drawn. It's not just don't do it. It's don't even think about it. Don't go there. Don't wrestle with it. Run from it. Don't even think about it. Like the child who's fighting temptation with their hand in the cookie jar. Don't do that. Don't even think about it. Run from it. Ephesians 2:3. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings, and it's the same word for that they use for lust. The gratifying the lust or the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And here's this contrast again. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. You see, even though we are in Christ, we need the fear of God. We need to fear being exposed. We need to fear being uncovered. We need to fear that maybe I'm not who I've said I am when my heart wants to run after these things. And that fear should make you run to Christ. Again and again, run to Christ. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against your soul. This is another reason that our desires can't be taken lightly. And our sins and our longings can't be taken lightly. Because there's actually a war going on in your soul. And when you cave, and when you yield, you're bowing the knee to the idol. Which is a gross place. A dark place. A disgusting, cold place. It's to go back to the grave that you were delivered from and crawl back in and curl up in this cold coffin. That's what it is every time we sin. And every time we run after these idols. These lusts of the flesh, they're also manifested in boasting. Verse 16, for everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And I love the scripture that says, what do you have that you have not received? And if you have received it, why do you boast as if you have not? It's a man who's been given something, who's been set on a pedestal, and God's placed him here and holds him here secure. And the man begins bragging about his ability to be on the pedestal, or bragging about his relationship, or bragging about his goodness, when all the while God has placed him here and God holds him here. You see, everything that you have, any goodness, anything beautiful in you, is a gift from God. And instead of being on this pedestal and bragging about ourselves, we need to point to the Father who has loved us and has saved us, who has lifted us up out of the muddy pit. You see, the boasting of what you have and what you have done comes from the world. And it's not from the Father. and is not His will for your life. Psalm 149, verses 4 and 5. For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in His honor and sing for joy on their beds. God rejoices in the humble. Friends of ours, their church was planting and they were meeting in a school building. We walked into the school building when I wasn't thinking school building because I hadn't been there before. I was thinking this is their place of worship. And there was a giant banner and I'm reading it. It says, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. This wasn't their church's banner, but it was the school's banner. And this is what is being told to the children. Believe in yourself. You know, and all around this is being pushed. Believe in yourself. Believe in your dreams. Hold on to these. But no. No. What do we believe in? We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there is anything good within us, it comes from Him. See, God loves the humble. He gives them His salvation. See, so in running for God's desires to run away from your pride, you know, we actually embrace our weakness in the sense that we use it to point to God and point to our Father. Because there is no good within us that is not from Him. And running from the flesh and running from the world system, it also says the lust of the eyes. Verse 16 again. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. When you think about it, there is nothing more empty. There is nothing more hollow than sitting down and longing after something you see because it's pretty. And beauty fades. Beauty goes away. Except for the beauty of obeying God and the beauty of His covenant. It was summed up so well in Exodus 20:17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to his neighbor. If we brought this into more modern terms, it would say, don't want your neighbor's Mustang. Don't want your neighbor's high-speed internet. Don't want your neighbor's wife. Don't want these things. Don't run after them. They're nothing. They're going away. They're going to rot. And along the lines of the lust of the eyes, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone that looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See, and this language should be so striking to us because we understand that marriage and how sacred it is. And adultery can kill it. Adultery, a capital offense. Jesus is saying, if you look at a woman lustfully, that's a capital offense. Well, this should scare us to death. You see, and this shows us the seriousness of our offenses. This shows us that these things can't just be glossed over. Sin, even when it's just in your mind, Jesus puts on the same par as in the flesh. It says it's a capital offense that kills the covenant of marriage. We know that the covenant of marriage is a picture of our covenant in relationship with God. So don't even think about gratifying these desires. Don't think you have the right to do it. And this should also scare us. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These things flow from within us. Why do you do it? Why do you struggle with it? Because it's coming from your heart. Run to Christ. Proverbs 27:20, death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of a man. Again, the eternality of obedience to God and the destruction of those who rebel. Therefore, this is Isaiah 5:24. Therefore, as tongues of fire lick up straw, and as dry grass sinks down into the flames, so their roots will decay and their flowers blow away like dust. Why? Because they have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty and spurned the word of the Holy One of Israel. You see the reality of our sin. You see the reality of our weakness. You see the two camps. Let's run to Christ together. Let's run after His will. Run from the things passing away and rejoice in what abides forever. Verses 16 and 17. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires. This here in the NIV says, pass away, but it's a present active. It's the world and its desires are passing away. They are passing away. They are already coming to nothing. The world and its desires are passing away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. You see, running after these things, it's like building a tree house in a tree that's rotten and dead. We went to the Lagos bookstore. They may be out of business now. They had a sign, going out of business, and we walked in and the shelves, there's hardly anything on them. It's nothing. We thought we were going to scoop up all these deals, but it's empty and people are carrying the shelves out, buying the shelves. You know, to invest in the world is to go in and take a job there. There's no future. It's to spend your savings on a car that's rotting out. Investing in the world is empty. It's nothing. It's foolishness. It's vanity. And that's what all these things are, as we run to them instead of running after the will of the Father and running after His desires. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is all about your heart. This is all about your heart. Running after God's desires is all about your heart and your desire to please Him. And if it's not your desire, remember the reality of the opposition. And I'm going to hit you with this Isaiah 5:24 again, because it hits me right between the eyes. Therefore, as tongues of fire lick up straw, and as dry grass sinks down into the flames, so their roots will decay, and their flowers blow away like dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty and spurned the word of the Holy One of Israel. Where is your heart? Where are your desires? Where are you going to run? For your comfort and for your joy and for your security. Are you running to Fire Mountain? Are you running to the bowl of ice cream? You know, are you running after these things? Are you running after your high-speed internet? When you need your comfort, do you go to His Word? When you need joy, do you proclaim His salvation? Where are your desires? You see, you that are in Christ have been born again. You are not the dead person. You have come from death to life. Be that person. Be the person who longs for God. Be the sons and the daughters that you are. The ones who have passed from death to life. The ones who have been given a new heart. The ones who run for the will of the Father. That is who you are. Rejoice and run for God. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You for Your Word and we thank You for Your truth. We thank You that You have not sent us away. We thank You that we are not grass in the fire. We thank You that our roots will not rot. We thank You that our flowers will not be blown away as dust. And we thank You, Father, that You have loved us. And we cry out to You, God. Change our hearts and make our faith greater. God, this week may we run to You and seek our joy and our comfort in You. Not in the things of the world, not in the things that are passing away. Not in the things that will be lost. But God, may we delight in the things that will last forever. Because they are of You. They are Your will and they are Your purpose and they are the promises of Your Word. God, we lift this congregation to You. We lift ourselves to You as Your assembly. We ask, Father, that You strengthen us and cause us to grow. We ask, Father, that You give us a will to tell people about You, to bring others into our midst. God, we lift our pains to You and our sorrows. Lord, our scars that still hurt sometimes. Our loneliness. And pray that You fill us. Pray that we will have our comfort in You. And we lift this day to You. And ask for beautiful rest. As we turn to You and remember what You have done. God, may we rejoice in You and who You are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm. It's Psalm 25C. We see there, it's in the first stanza in verse 10. All pathways of the Lord are truth and mercy sure, to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies pure. The paths and the desires of God that we're talking about are pure. And they are beautiful. And though we may face conflicts now, we rest in obedience to Him. And we rest in our security with Him. So please stand with me and let's sing Psalm 25C.